3ax of the FHN of 1998.
Thank you, Chair. I bring clause 22, which is amending 43A of the Principal Act. In terms of the first amendment, is the inclusion of the words, the levels of concentration and structure into the main definition of what a main inquiry means. No, there was no opposition to that amendment of 43A1.
Members? Great, thank you. Next.
Section 43A2 is the threshold for which is an adverse effect is established if any feature, combination of features of a market, goods or services impedes or restricts or distorts competition. In terms of the public submissions, you had big business, for example, Bowman's, Law Society, Vodacom, and I think Bursa, who were anti the amendment. One of the reasons is that the threshold of adverse effect on competition is substantially lower. The threshold is very low. What they suggested is that they would want it to, instead of an adverse effect on competition, that it should substantially lessen or prevent competition. Then we had other institutions like the Section 27 and the unions supporting the adverse effect as the lower threshold or the so-called lower threshold for establishing whether it impedes or restricts or distorts competition.
Thanks so much, members. Yeah, the issue whether it lowers competition by including issues that are included in here. You have to guide, but this particular amendment, as indicated by our legal advisor, is an insertion, a new insertion to A up to E. Okay. What I would say?
Thank you, Chair. I remember when we discussed the matter initially, we agreed with the amendment because it speaks of adverse effect. We said once there is an indication that something is not right, there should be no barriers. You know, there should be an opportunity to can then quickly start a market inquiry. To find out what exactly is happening. So we did discuss the matter. We agree with the amendment.
Thank you so much. I think, yes, it arises from some of our meetings with the competition authorities. And we're happy that is included here. Thank you. Any dissenting view? Thank you. Next.
The next clause, Chair. We have clause 23, which is
which allows the Competition Commission to initiate and conduct market inquiries, and also gives the power to the minister to request or require the Competition Commission to undertake a or conduct a market inquiry. The only objection or comment on this was that there's too much executive involvement in the competition when the minister is given such power. That was the only comment, Chair.
Members?
The minister's response, Chair, was that he is the representative of the public, and therefore he has the obligation to respond on behalf of the public where he has received reports of some wrongdoing, Chair.
Thanks for that. Members, any issue on this one? You agree with it? Okay, thank you. Agreed. State Law Advisor?
Just before we proceed, Chair, there was a proposal in our previous meeting on 43B2 that we move the part under 43CB, 43C1B, the reference there to procedures to be followed at the market inquiry, to 43B2. So, Chair, after the words...
can you start from the beginning, just to read it, so that we understand what you're talking about?
Okay, so if you see 43B2, the subtotal,
yes, yeah.
It says the Competition Commission must at least 20 business days before the commencement of a market inquiry publish a notice in the Gazette announcing the establishment of the market inquiry, setting out the terms of reference of the market inquiry.
Thank you. Okay.
Setting out the terms of reference of the market inquiry, then after that we insert a chairperson comma, underline comma, and then we insert the word, the processes to be followed at the market inquiry, comma. All of that is underlined. That's the new insertion. And then that sentence is then continued. And
is it in the minister's response?
It was
which
in the
page?
Thanks, Chair. So this was a proposal that had been made, Chair, but the minister had actually responded when he came to the committee last week, Tuesday, saying that he would prefer to stay as it is, and he detailed his reasons, and in the report that was given to the committee, not on
which page?
So this is in the presentation on page 47 and 48, the presentation that came on September 11.
Oh, okay.
And if I might just read it, Chair. So what the minister had said is market inquiries will need to be held with procedures that enable robust an expeditious process as an inquisitorial rather than an adversarial process. The chairperson of the market inquiry is therefore responsible to advise parties of the rules that apply, and she or he will always be bounded by the rules of natural justice. If it is a requirement that the rules be gazetted, it would mean the following. Prior to the convening of the inquiry, the Commission may have to publish draft rules, provide for public comment, consider the comments, and then gazette the rules. Every time a new rule or revised rule is introduced to facilitate the smooth running of the work of the inquiry, or if the interest of justice requires it, the Commission may need to stop the proceedings of the inquiry and redo the process in A above, what I've just read out. Procedures for the market inquiry have therefore intentionally not been put into the list of items which need to be gazetted, in order to provide the Commission with flexibility to adjust the rules during the course of the proceedings where this is in the interest of justice, without the need for a draft set of amended rules to be published for public comment, and therefore only to be gazetted every time there is a need to revise the rules. The Minister therefore proposes that the Portfolio Committee considers retaining the current provisions in the bill.
Quite clear. State reference?
No, Chairperson, I'm fine with that explanation.
You're fine with it?
Yeah.
So there's no need for any amendment there. Thank you. We may proceed. Sorry, I just gave a ruling without coming back to you, members. What's your feeling? You concur. Thank you so much. Next.
The rest of the amendments on page 13 is just the time periods for market inquiries and also time periods to objections and submission of confidential information. In terms of the public comments, there was only an issue around which was raised by Vodacom and also the Law Society of South Africa around possible duplication between the regulatory authorities. And I think when the minister responded, he says those are all addressed in terms of Section 82 of the Act, that there won't be a duplication, that you won't have two authorities or regulators doing the same investigation. But the Act empowers that there should be consultation between the regulators.
Okay, I'm putting the question for members. Babu Beginini?
Maybe, Chair, it was really clarified, Chair, that there will be that consultation with the regulator at all times.
Okay, the issue of duplication is dealt with. Because duplication also means wastage in terms of resources. Thank you. If you all satisfied, let's move on.
And Chair, we are going to
page 14 of the bill, which largely deals with matters to be decided at the market inquiry by the insertion of Section 43C, which says if you look at the previous sections that we talked about the terms of reference for the market inquiry. That's all. There were no objections on this clause, Chair. Yeah, no. The Law Society is on 43D. Because I think the only issue that was there is what my colleague talked to, which was the moving of 43.1B. But I think the minister already answered that, was that the procedures to be followed on the market inquiry should be gazetted. But that has already been answered by what the minister's advisors just read.
Yes. Okay. I think even yesterday we dealt with this. Okay, thank you, members. Is there a new session? Oh, we agree. Thank you so much. Next.
In the next section, Chair, is 43D, which is the duty to remedy adverse effects on competition. And I think the complaint here or concern from business, including the Law Society, was the power of the way it was couched, Chair, is that the Act now gives the Competition Commission extensive powers, which may include, in some instances, the recommendation that the firm must be divestiture by the firm. And therefore, they were concerned about that thing. And I think Vodacom's submission was that it should be a recommendation by for divestiture must be sent for approval to the competition tribunal. The response by the minister is that the commission still makes a recommendation, and I think the structure of the act has not been changed in terms that it won't. The competition still has to be confirmed by the tribunal. Chair.
Okay. Members, are we comfortable with this impression and the explanation by the minister?
We're comfortable.
Are we? Thank you so much. State advisor?
Chairperson, if you look at page 19, the amendment to section 63,
yeah.
It says an order made by the Competition Tribunal in terms of subsection 2, and then those words that are underlined, it says except an order made in terms of section 43(d)(2). Now if you go to 43(d)(2), it doesn't talk about an order there. So, Chairperson, I think we may need to deal with that to just clarify that the Competition Tribunal is able to make an order there. Because there is no empowering provision, although I think when we when it was conceived, it was thought that there should be an order made by the tribunal after that recommendation is made. So, 43D2 only talks about a recommendation from the commission, but it doesn't get to the order of the tribunal.
Okay. Can you read the one on 19?
On 19, the 33 there, you see, clause 33.
Yes.
The C, the subsection 3 there, it says
yes.
An order made by the competition tribunal in terms of subsection 2. And then accept an order made in terms of section 43(d)(2). So it envisages an order to be made in terms of 43(d)(2), but 43(d)(2) doesn't talk about an order. It only talks of recommendations that will be made to the competition tribunal.
Okay.
I think the my colleague's recommendation, Chair, will have to fix the wording in section 43(d)(2), yeah, so as to be able to read in congruence with section as the amendment in section 62C. So we'll just sit and probably just find out the amendment as part of the closure matters we're doing either today or later today, Chair.
Can we get that fixation after lunch?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And the next clause, Chair, section 43E, which is the outcomes of the market inquiry. There is no specific objection to this clause, Chair.
No objection, yes. Members? Nothing to say, thank you. May we move on?
The next clause is section 43F, which is appeals against the orders made against in terms of this act, that you can appeal either to the Competition Tribunal or the Competition Commission. There are no specific objections similar to this clause, Chair.
Mm-hmm. because they haven't spoken with the other teacher also. Members, anyone with a problem regarding the section dealing with the appeals? Against the decisions made under this particular chapter?
No one.
Yeah? Okay. Then we need to move to G.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to understand when it says the prescribed period. Are there going to be...
Can you lead us to a particular clause?
On an appeal, sir.
Which, yes. For the 3F, what?
3F. Just it says... it says the minister or any person...
After 43D, May, within the prescribed period. Is that where you...
Yes, sir.
The first one.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
43F1.
Yeah. My question is, and actually, clarity to say, when they say prescribed period, is it going to be in the regulations? When is it going to be? Because here for me sounds too vague.
Okay. Anyone to talk to that? Is that prescribed anywhere? Within the old... Oh, the principal F?
Yes, the definitions, Jefferson has a definition of prescribed. Prescribed means prescribed by regulation. To be in the regulations.
To be in the regulation. Okay, thank you. Are we all satisfied?
Yes.
May we move on to 43G?
43G, Chair, is around participation of firms, registered unions, and interested people in the market inquiry. The only comment around this participation there was around was from the Section 27 NGO, arguing that the test for any other person is too high, because as an NGO they would want to also participate in market inquiries, and I think they made an example around the national, I think the healthcare inquiry, NH1 inquiry. So I think the issue was saying that in terms of 43.1G. Where he says any person with a material interest in the market whose interest is of the opinion of the Competition Commission not adequately represented by another participant, or who in the opinion of the Competition Commission substantially assist with the work of the inquiry, is a too higher test for the public to participate, in particular them as an NGO. That was the concern they raised. I'm trying to check whether there was a response to that concern, Charles. My colleague points me to page 17, Chair, of the Minister's response. To the market inquiry is available to any person in terms of 43G2. The right to participate in a market inquiry, which generally includes the right to make oral submissions and to attend the hearings of the legal representation, is provided to defined categories of participants in the bill. Should this be available to any person, it may result in very large, costly, lengthy, and widely proceedings. in addition to the defined categories of attendees with the right of participation in the market inquiry, any other person who has a material interest in the market inquiry whose interest is not adequately represented by another participant who will, in the Penal Commission, substantially assist with the work of the market may participate. Taking into account the concerns expressed by the Portfolio Committee regarding the importance of small business, it is supported that two amendments be introduced, namely to clarify Section 43G1A, that such firms include small business, and to add a new subsection that requires the Commission to take all reasonable steps to ensure the balanced representation. I think the answer, the gist of the answer in relation to entities which are not small business or HDIs, the gist of the answer is that the Act as it stands now makes adequate provision for those who are interested or who have a substantial interest on the matter to be able to participate in the market inquiry.
So can you also go through the suggested wording of the, by the minister?
Suggested wording then, Chair, on the current amendment, which is 43G1A, it will be in section 1A, is to say firms which shall which include small and medium businesses in the market that is subject of the inquiry. So after firms, we'll say firms include small and medium businesses. That's the suggested wording. And then on the obligation put on the Commission is that there's a new tool that is put after G that says the Competition Commission must take reasonable steps to promote the participation of small and medium businesses who have a material interest in the inquiry and are of the opinion in the competition not adequately represented. That's the wedding chair, and then we have a 3 and a 4.
Okay.
The amendments, the suggested members are on page 17 and 18 of the minister's submission, the last one.
Okay. Can we start with the first amendment, the recommended amendment by the minister to accommodate the concern? Firms, that the insertion there would including small and medium businesses. Are we in agreement to that? Okay, the second one. Competition Commission must take reasonable steps to promote the participation of small and medium businesses who have a material interest in the inquiry and are, in the opinion of the Competition Commission, not adequately represented. That's it then?
This is very important.
Thank you.
The Competition Authority must ensure that small and medium businesses are that they participate.
Yes.
It's very important.
Thank you so much. And subject to the procedures and time periods adopted for the inquiry, any person may make representations to the market inquiry on any issue related to the terms of reference published in terms of section 43B2. So that is there. And then 3-4, which is saying subject to the procedures and time periods adopted for the inquiry, participants referred to in subsection 1 may be required to respond to surveys and questionnaires, requests for information and submissions issued by the commission. So it is already here. Thank you so much. If you agree, can you move on then?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is clause 26, which amends section 44 dealing with the treatment of confidential information and also the appeal mechanism and the determination of confidential information that the Competition Tribunal, the Minister, has an obligation to treat as confidential any information that is subject to of a claim of a commission until it is either made a determination, that determination has been appealed, and also a new determination is made, Chair. There were no concerns around this clause, Chair.
Very important inclusion here or insertion. What are we saying? Agreed to, thank you.
Clause 27, Chair, is a similar clause, also dealing with the submission of someone of information to and a disclosure of that information to someone who wants access to that information.
Okay.
It is part of this version. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Members, we are substituting section 45 of the Principal Act. With the section 27,
clause 27.
What are we saying?
Where are we?
Babu Pekinene?
Yes,
sir. Supported, thank you.
The next clause, Chair, is clause 28, which is meant to amend section 49D of the Principal Act, which grants them the powers to people to set and someone's chair.
You are on 49D?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Member?
Yes, so for dealing with the granting of consent orders by the
yes.
Commission, Chair.
It's a technical area, so we will require a lot of assistance here also. But as explained, is there any opposition to this?
No.
No opposition. Thank you. May we proceed to the next one?
Clause 49 E, Chair, is a new section, Chair, which is inserted after 49 D, which is in line with the amendments we made earlier, which was to grant the Competition Commission the power to develop a policy on leniency.
You are not done?
Well, in terms of this, there were no objections to the clause. The only recommendation that we have, I think, was from the chartered ABASA, saying that the policy, the leniency policy, must be reviewed periodically, Chair.
Okay. Is there any response from the Minister on that one?
No, Chair.
Is there any opposition to the periodic reviewal of the policy as proposed by BASA?
So basically the legal position is that whenever there's a provision that allows somebody to do something, that person is allowed, chairperson, to review and to amend it from time to time. So the reviewer is a given, chairperson, for to use loose language.
When a need arises. Okay. Thank you. Members, we fine with that? Yes, thank you so much. The next amendment.
The next amendment is clause 30, which is the insertion of DA before after D, which gives the power to the competition tribunal to be able to amend, withdraw any direction or summons referred or issued, Chair.
Okay. That's an amendment of Section 54 of the Principal Act. It's just the insertion of the amended version of Section 35, 15 of Act 89 of 2000. If members have any issue with this, that's the question. Okay, thank you. The next one, 31.
Clause 31 among Section 58, which deals with appeal to organization of the.
Okay.
Which is the orders the competition tribunal can issue.
Make an appropriate order in relation to a prohibited practice, or the insertion there is, or an appeal referred to in Section 43F. We've dealt with 43F already. Yes. That deals with orders. What's the feeling of members?
Agreed.
The next?
The next, Chair, is clause 32. I think this is the clause with the yellow card, Chair. Mm-hmm. We received, and I think it was from Vodacom, against another big business, including BUSA, against removal of the yellow card, and there was a stated objection by the Democratic Alliance that they are objecting to the removal of the yellow card. And I think the minister responding, I think the answer was twofold. that competition law has developed, and that it is only in South Africa where we have this clause of a yellow card. So therefore it has been decided that it should be removed in order to ensure compliance and with the laws of the country.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I think this has been there for quite some time. I think even the members, our interaction with the competition authorities, we've been raising this question. Can we come to it now? A decision is sought on this particular area of our work. Section 32. Section 32. An administrative penalty imposed in terms of subsection 1 may not exceed 25% of the firm's annual turnover in the Republic, and if exports from the Republic during the firm's preceding financial year, if the conduct is substantial. Potentially a repeat by the same firm of conduct previously found by the Competition Tribunal to be a prohibited practice. Remember, the initial one is 10%. This is a repeated offense. What I would say, Ma'am Polo?
Yeah. Here we are saying 25% for the repeated, not exceeding 25 when you repeat. When you begin, I'm a little bit confused.
Come again?
I'm saying it's talking about not exceeding 25%.
For a repeated offense.
Now, I want to understand the first one. 10%.
Fine. Remember, it's not exceeding. It can be anything between 12, you can even make it 15, but the maximum is 25%. Yes, that is then.
I can see it now, but when I read it, it said in the Republic. Am I correct?
Yeah.
What if that firm has a mother body outside? Should we? By saying the Republic, are we not confining ourselves or underplaying ourselves?
Okay. That's a question, a relevant question. Legal people? Or is it a question to ourselves?
Yeah. It is a question to ourselves, but of course we'll be assisted by our legal mind.
Okay. Thank you. State your advice. What was the thinking behind this?
Chair, the way I understand it, Chair, I don't want to say the legal regime, but generally, Chairperson, the countries do not have agreements, that cooperative agreements that allow for enforcement of penalties. They do have agreements, cooperative agreements that allow for for the imposition, for the enforcement of court orders in general. But when it comes to administrative penalties, countries are generally averse to getting into those kind of arguments. So even if it were to be there, it would be difficult to implement in practice, Chairperson. It's only within the EU where they've got such arrangements because of the common agreement that they have in the EU. So we could have that, but we wouldn't be able to actually enforce it, Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay. There's that explanation. So at least here we have authority to do so. We can enforce this particular clause. Okay, thank you. I haven't heard anything regarding approval of this particular insertion.
Chair, before we agree, I agree, but I just want to ask, can we make it 50?
They don't want it at all. You want to make it 50. What are we saying, state advisors? There we need economists to advise what will 50% do to us.
I think the point of increasing the penalty for a second offence is obviously if a company is repeating the offence a second time, it means the first penalty wasn't good enough. And that's why we have increased the penalty from 10% to 25%. We've looked in trying to understand what an appropriate offence would be. We've looked at other countries and where their offences are. 50% would be very much outside of line with what other countries have imposed. The maximum we've been able to find through our research is 30%. I think as part of our discussions, we felt that 25 is appropriate because it was at least more than double the fine that you would have for a first offence. And we know that the EU typically doubles the fine if there's a repeat offence. So that would be.
Does that suffice?
Fine, Chair. Maybe we should make it 50 like others.
You want us to triple now? Okay. Members, I don't get a feeling that you agree with this. Are you satisfied with the 25%? Or you want it to be retained at 10%?
No.
25 is fine. Okay. So we agree with the 25%. Okay. Members have been very worried, I must say, around the 10%, and also the fact that there's nothing with respect to the repeated offenders. So I'm thinking that's why they agree, or even want more.
Yeah. I don't need clarity. Here it's talking about 25% for repeated. I don't see another percent for the first time. Unless
it's there in the principal act.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we're just inserting that which was not there.
Okay.
In addition to that, yes. And that's then.
Chair, we agree with what is being proposed. But ideally, as a committee, we would like to see it higher. So the best we are going to do is to monitor the process as it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, there are many of these cases of repeat offenders and so on and so on, obviously the committee may have to sit down and relook the situation. But in terms of what is being proposed,
so you'd want to amend another legislation, this legislation in the near future, if this is not
we're going to monitor.
There's no improvement. Okay. All right. Thank you, members. I see members agreeing to this penalty for repeat offenders. Let's agree to that and move forward.
Thank you, Chair. Within the same subsection, Chair, which is 32E3A, which is the issue of extending the penalty or the administrative penalty. I think my colleague has dealt with it. Is on section 32E3A, the last section that it might be extended to the mother body. Yeah. But the matter is my colleague did explain it. And then clause 33, amending section 60, which allows now the Competition Commission, where it has found during a market inquiry that there's been an adverse effect on the competition, that they can make a recommendation to the Competition Tribunal for divestiture. That's the clause which is 60C. And then the next clause that says that order made by the tribunal is of not force and effect until it is confirmed by the Competition Appeal Court.
Under market inquiry. Okay.
Just to be correct, Chair, because we're introducing that section, obviously we're deleting the or in the Principal Act, and in order to insert that clause C, which is for after a market inquiry, the Competition Commission can recommend divestiture to the tribunal.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Was there any opposition to that?
I think it was on along the lines of linked to the powers given to the marketing, given to the Competition Commission to do market inquiries. So it was along the lines that they could recommend a divestiture. Chair. That was the objection, in essence, that it is a too much wider power given to the Competition Commission. But I think the minister, in replying, said there are checks and balances in the form that the Competition Commission, although it would have done the market inquiry, their recommendation in relation to divestiture is not a final recommendation. That recommendation must be confirmed by the Competition Tribunal. And even if you're unhappy there, if the Competition Tribunal confirms the recommendation, then you can appeal that decision to the Competition Appeals Court. So there is enough checks and balances for the power given to the Competition Commission.
Okay. I guess we heard what this section is all about. May we then interact with it? Are we happy? We okay? Are you okay? You tired?
No.
Are you still fine? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. May we then proceed to 34?
Clause 34. I just dealt with it. That's the clause, Chair, that that says an order made by the competition tribunal in terms of subsection 2, except an order in terms of 43D2, is no force and effect unless confirmed by the competition appeal court, which is 43, this section.
Yes, 33.
Yeah, 33, sir. I think I've
dealt with it.
Unless my colleague has something to add.
You wanted to add something?
No, no, my only concern is we haven't had
the members on it. No, he combined the two in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And the D?
D is the insertion for the words and the purpose of the service. An order in terms of subsection 1-2 may set a time for compliance and any other terms for the competition tribunal considers appropriate, having regard to the commercial interest of the party concerned and the purposes of this act. Yes. There's no much writing because the act is to intro or to encourage competition, so there's not much writing on that amendment.
Okay. Anything else? I don't think there could be anything because it's just emphasized. Okay, can we move then to section 34?
Clause 34, Chair, amends section 62 by saying appeals from the Competition Appeal Court as a court of appeal lie to the Constitutional Court, not to the Supreme Court of Appeal. But I think we have to appeal. I think the issue is that we are appealing from the Competition Appeal Court going to another appeal court, which have been the Supreme Court of Appeal, and then if you're still unhappy with the decision, then you still have to go to the Constitutional Court. So now it says, because similarly, I think from the Labour Court, some matters go straight to the Constitutional Court, Labour Appeal Court.
Okay, so after Competition Appeal Court, you have to go then straight to Constitutional Court. Okay. Do you have any problem with that?
No.
Or you feel we should still via the Supreme Court? No, it's fine. Thank you. We're now on page 20. Clause 35. Oh, you wanted to come in?
We just missed in under report proposal from the department that says despite subsections 1A and 2B, neither the commission and the tribunal nor the competition of the court.
Can you switch on the mic, state of the press?
It's page 23, chairperson of the minister's response, of the minister's report. So basically it's to insulate the matters that are in section 18A from being dealt with by the tribunal and the competition appeal court.
Okay.
And the only instance where the competition tribunal or the appeal court has jurisdiction is the provisions that we just dealt with now that deals with the order that relates to diversity charges. Mm-hmm. Yeah? To penalties. No. So that the provision that it reads there's a new 2A that is inserted. So despite subsections 1A and 2B, neither the Competition Tribunal nor the Competition Appeal Court has jurisdiction over matters regulated by section 18A, except section 18A13. So that that is the proposed insertion.
Is that the insertion that we already dealt with, the 13A? That is being referred to here, 18,
18, 18, A13, yeah. It's going to be dependent on
the final
on the finalization of the
okay. All right. Are we fine now? We order. Okay, thank you.
The next clause is clause 35, which follows the amendment we just did in clause 34, which is giving jurisdiction for appeals for matters of the, from the Competition Appeals Court to the Constitutional Court. That's what that clause is doing. And therefore taking out the, deleting the Supreme Court of Appeal.
Mm.
Yeah.
We didn't have a problem with this before. Do we have another one? Thank you.
The next amendment, Chair, is clause 36, amending section 67 of the Principal Act, which says the complaint in respect of a prohibited practice that ceased more than 3 years before the complaint was initiated may not be referred to the Competition Tribunal.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a limitation of complaints that you might bring to the Competition Commission, that if the matter is already 3 years ago, you may not bring it.
Okay. So it's that issue of the backlog, but the additional staffing issue will address this. But then here it's trying to say also you can't deal with very old issues of more than 3 years. Are we fine with that? Okay, thank you. Proceed to the next one.
The next section, Chair, is clause 37, amending section 74 by increasing a fine or a penalty for other matters that it is increased from 2,000 to 10,000 or for imprisonment for a period of not exceeding 6 months. Yeah, section 4. It was 2,000 before. Or both a fine and imprisonment.
Okay. The question might arise, what does Section 74 say? That they may have an informed decision.
It says in any other case, so the person convicted of an offence in terms of this act is liable, and then there's A, and then B says in any other case to a fine not exceeding 2,000 or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 6 months, or both a fine and an imprisonment. A had said in a case of contravention of section 73(1) to a fine not exceeding 500,000 or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 7 years, or both a fine and imprisonment.
Okay. This is still under penalty of the amendment to the existing to the Principal Act. What do members say?
Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Member Polo.
Under penalty, the firm gets 25% of annual. And this is it about an individual in that firm or
talk to any.
To any case.
Any person convicted of an offence in terms of this act is liable. And then it has an A and B which are being amended.
And that person pays 10,000.
Come again?
And that person pays 10,000 from 2,000.
From 2,000 to 10,000, yes. Yeah. Because in the Principal Act it says 2,000. In any other case, to a fine not exceeding 2,000. The first one, that is A, in the case of a contravention of Section 73A, to a fine not exceeding 500,000 is there, or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years. And then this is a B that is being amended.
Well,
that's talking to the 2,000 range.
Okay.
It's under Section 74. That's why a reference is there.
And I think just to assist the committee chair.
Yes.
There's a Section 70.
No. Yeah.
There's a Section 73, chair.
Yeah.
That says because if you looked at 74(1), it says any person convicted of an offence in terms of the is liable in the case of contravention of Section 73(1). Is 500,000. 73(1) talks about someone who, a person who commits an offence, who contravenes or fails to comply with an interim or final order of the competition commission, then you are fined 500. And then probably B will talk to the other offences, which would be that would be you try to improperly influence, does anything in connection with the investigation, or you knowingly provide false
information.
To the commission, then you will be fined probably the amount of 10,000.
That's it then?
Chair, I agree with the increase of the fine from 2,000 to 10,000, but I want to be educated as to why the 6 months remain the same. 6 months was for
2,000.
Now it's 10,000. We need to discourage people from doing wrong things, so they must understand what's happening there.
I think it's as per the prior judgment is informed by some of the people.
I'm still a little bit confused to take it. This 10,000, I'm the CEO of the company. My salary per year goes to 5 million a year. And when I do an offense, it says 10,000. Is it really talking to, maybe I'm confused. Because when you say 500,000, it's about the company and whatever, repeated offense and whatever, you don't follow. But when it comes to an individual, then it says 10,000. And I agree with Dr. Kian about even the 6 months. If money can go up in terms of penalty, what is wrong for the imprisonment? Can it not go to 12 months? I need clarity.
You are correct to say clarity. State Law Advisor.
I cannot address the CEO salary one.
That was just an example.
Yes, I'm saying that one. All I can say is it's a policy decision. So I cannot be able to deal with it. It's not a legal issue. The issue of 2,000 to 10,000 per person. It seeks to deal with the issue of inflation. So it's the what do they call it in fancy language? But it's the worth of the money in 2018 as opposed to 1998. So 2,000 in 1998 today it's viewed to be 10,000. So that's the best I can explain. So the correlation is not on the imprisonment and the amount. The correlation only relates to the rate of inflation over the years.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I understand it. The aim is not really to put the offender, you know, in prison for a long time. The aim is to deal with the issue of inflation.
Thank you. Ma'am Fuller?
Maybe others are that I need clarity because their decision is based on inflation, not based on
the offense.
So it means people can do whatever they will pay $10,000. So that's all that I want to do.
Thank you. So are we passing here?
Yeah, let's pass.
No, yes,
okay. Thank you. Lenient. So that there's an undertone here, but it does want to come out correct. I don't know. I can hear that. Okay, may we proceed?
The next section is amendment of section 79 by clause 38, which gives the power to the competition, which was there anyway, but I think it was for clarity to ensure that they can amend and replace any guidelines that they have issued. Yeah.
Before my colleague gets to that one, because of the decision that was taken with regard to guidelines versus regulation, the minister proposes that the regulation provision now be amended to take cognizance of the fact that now we're saying regulation instead of guidelines.
Okay.
Yes, so it's just to bring in those issues that were put under guidelines, under the regulation provision, so that the provision that is proposed for.
Okay, so that can be dealt with in the afternoon, or when?
I think because it has been decided, and we can deal with it now.
Yeah. We can.
The amendment chair is going to give an amendment before this section 79, which is going to be section 78. We are amending the section regulation, which is section 78, by including the suggested wording. That says the minister, by notice in the Gazette, may make regulations that are required to give effect to the purposes of this Act, and then which is the actual amendment now in the section 78. It says, before publishing regulations in terms of section 4, 5, and 8, and 9, the minister must consult with the Competition Commission and publish a notice in the Gazette stating that draft regulations have been prepared, stating the place, which may include a website where a copy of the draft regulations may be obtained, and inviting interested parties to submit written representations on the draft regulations within a reasonable period, and consider any representations which have been submitted within that period. So that will be the amendment to the regulation clause of the principal action.
Okay. So, members, there you are. Babu Pekinin?
Thanks, Chair. I think we need to follow this kind of guidance, Chair, because it will be easy now to regulation to be implemented, whatever we want. We can pass this step.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Pekinin. So, regulations are binding now instead of binding. Thank you. The next section 39.
Section 39 gives the minister authority after consultation with the Competition Commission to issue regulations to provide non-binding advisory opinions to be issued by the Competition Commission. Include fees payable in respect of the non-binding opinions.
Okay. So the minister issues non-binding regulations.
No, it's not. It's regulations to issue non-binding opinions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or advisory opinions.
Yes, advisory
opinions. Yeah. The minister may, after consultation with the Competition Commission, issue regulations to provide for non-binding advisory opinions to be issued by the Competition Commission, including the fees payable in respect of a non-binding opinion. Okay. Are we comfortable with that?
So, if they say issue regulation for non-binding advisory, is it not guidelines? I'm just asking because I'm a little bit confused. But regulations, when do they turn non-binding? Or is it the English?
Okay. Yeah, the thing is, it's not our language.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. But these are legal issues.
You can call it a basic.
The minister is empowered chairperson to issue regulations which will be binding. So that's a separate issue. There will be regulations issued by the minister to say the commission on these issues. Then there will be the list or the specified issues in terms of which the commission will issue non-binding opinions. So if somebody wants to go to the commission and say, commission, if we were to enter into this kind of agreement, as an example, if we were to enter into this kind of agreement, what would be your position on it? So if the commission is prepared to issue an advisory opinion on that, then that would be one of the issues that the minister would say, on this kind of issues, you can issue a non-binding opinion. So it would be an opinion that is non-binding, and then the fees that would be payable in respect of those challenges.
Okay.
In a case of FM, a small or emerging firm, for instance, wanting that kind of an advice, it will also be subjected to those fees and all that.
As it stands, Chairperson, it will be subjected to those fees as the provision stands, but then there's nothing stopping the minister from prescribing different fees
in cases
with respect
of
to different types of firms or categories of firms. Yeah.
Okay. Are we fine?
Yeah, the concern is taken care of.
All right, thank you. Let's move on.
Section 40, Chair, which deals with the issue of collaboration between the Competition Commission and other regulatory authorities, Chair, which is including the words or on matters set out in Chapter 4A within a particular sector.
Okay, member. That's just an insertion of that. We fine, thank you. Silence, consent, thank you. May we move to 41?
41, Chair, is probably just a transitional arrangement that says until the leniency policy referred in Section 49 is published in the Gazette, the leniency policy published in the Gazette as amended on 16 March remains in effect. So keeping the current leniency policy until a new one is developed. So it's just managing the transition from
it's
this.
It's a transitional matter,
yeah.
Okay. Are we agree?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The amendment, which is on clause 42, says the principal act is hereby amended by the substitution of the expression excessive price, wherever it occurs, for the expression excessive price. And I think it's the issue of italics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's one of the issue of italics that is being managed that year.
Okay. Thank you.
And the last amendment.
Short title.
Yeah, this is the short title of the act, Chair.
Okay.
Then we except for the outstanding matters for after lunch should be. We've done the.
I decide whether we do.
Apologies, Chair.
I'm not a lawyer,
fellow.
Okay. Members, thank you. Well done. We still have outstanding matters about three outstanding matters that we still have to deal with that needs just a clear decision after lunch, yes. So just want to thank you for your participation thus far, and we'll meet at 2:10. Let's break for lunch. Thank you. Do you need more time?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't mean. The support people. You need more time. No? Just 2:30. Okay. Let's come back at 2:30. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, on the
yeah.